Hello and welcome to the ARCOP podcast, August 2026, with me, James Jenkins, Head of Customer Development, and Matt Cook, ARCOP General Manager. Okay, and we're live. So hello, everybody. Welcome to the ARCOP podcast for August of 2026. So for those who are perhaps joining for the first time, or just to recap, these podcasts are really designed, intended to be a conversation about everything to do with e-commerce, payments, fraud and risk, and of course, our favorite payment protocol, 3D Secure. We have a conversation every month, and it's really designed to be a, you know, kind of a window into regular updates and to help navigate that storm, as we say, and to give us some useful insights. I'm joined as ever by Matt Cook, ARCOP's General Manager. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, although I'm getting a little sad that my favorite season is coming to an end here. It's happening.
I was thinking about that earlier. It feels a little bit like the last couple of days of the vacation.
It does feel that way.
We're enjoying it. It's all good. We're trying not to think what's over the horizon. But for those of you who don't live on the northeast coast of the US, things can get a little ropey around December, Jan, Feb. Is that a fair way of saying it?
That is a fair way to say it. Yeah. And what better way to end the summer with a podcast?
Exactly. A podcast, yeah. And then teeing it up to go to London and Dublin for our summits as well. So we get to spend fall or autumn, as I used to call it, we spend a bit of that in Europe with our friends and partners and customers for the summits, which we'll talk about. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be very, very good. So Matt, I thought as ever, you know, appreciate your time, and people are interested in your view on the market and 3D Secure and obviously ARCOP's business. We're just coming off the back of the Australia summit. We had some great feedback from that summit in Sydney, and it's a smaller event, but no worse for it, I think, because you know, people can have more of an open dialogue. Everyone gets, you know, kind of more attention, and it's a unique market. All of our markets are unique. So thanks to everybody who participated and gave feedback. And as I was thinking about that event, and obviously the run up to our events, I'll say again, Dublin and in London, I was imagining kind of the room, just the sheer number of different players and what needs to happen for any e-commerce transaction, and so a 3D secure transaction to happen. We have the issuers, we have the merchants, we have the schemes, processors, regulators, and of course we're there, right there in the middle of it. And there's a lot of, you know, facets, if that's the right word, that need to take place in order and work in unison in order for that transaction to happen. And I think a lot of us, you know, even though, and people who don't work in the payments industry, we take that all for granted. And it's very fast moving, this industry. We're constantly doing it under, you know, threat from bad actors. And then we sprinkle in this thing called AI, which is being used by everybody at the moment, including the bad actors. It feels like this is a pretty complex environment. I think one of the things we really get from those summits is everybody collaborating. We always say it's not a sales event, but it's everybody coming together, collaborating to solve these kind of problems. So what I thought we'd do today, Matt, is first of all, I'd love your perspective on that and your view of what's happening kind of at an industry level and perhaps a view on the summit. And then maybe if we just walk through each of the players and what you're seeing or have seen over the last 12 months and any comments on things that they should expect from the summit and things that are happening and changes in the industry. And then finally, where you see ARCOP developing over perhaps, you know, the next six to 12 months to help pull that together.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I just go back to when I first got into payments, it is shocking to me that list you just ran through of how many stakeholders there are involved in every single transaction. It's quite amazing that it works, and it works at the scale that it does, because there are so many different handoffs along the way, from someone actually just clicking purchase in some sort of shopping cart somewhere online to actual money changing hands and that transaction actually closing. So it's quite amazing, and I've always been amazed. And it kind of flows into what I found at the summit as well, is, you know, we get all these stakeholders into a room and everyone's really just wondering what the other guy's doing. And saying, oh yeah, is that how you think about it? We have some of the best content that we've had is issuers love hearing the merchant perspective. And I think the merchants come because they love to hear the issuer perspective. And then everyone always has questions for the schemes and wants to understand what the schemes are up to. And so it's quite an interesting conversation and something that I've come to really treasure as an annual thing that we get to sit in this room and amongst all these different stakeholders and talk about what's happening on the cutting edge of payments. And it's pretty interesting. So if those of you haven't made it, you should try to make it because it's quite a nice conversation. And everyone who comes typically has very positive feedback. So we haven't had a lot of naysayers out of the years we've been doing this summit. So I would encourage everyone to sign up and get involved in the conversation because I think you can learn something from what all the other stakeholders are doing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And at the last summit, I think under the presentation you're referring to, there was kind of some real-time problem solving where the merchant presenting said, "We can't figure out why these authentications are failing," and then they don't come back, and some of the issuers were volunteering their experience and solving problems in the room. So no, and I think it's great, and that's what we're there for, right? Is to try and you use this phrase, we're there to solve problems, and it's great those kind of outcomes that we can get. So. Very good. Okay, so if we go, perhaps Matt, if you're okay, if we go through each of those parties, I think I'm sure people would love your perspective on it. Issuers are absolutely our focus. They're the bulk, not taking anything away from other parties, but the issuer perspective is where historically we've been. It's where we started, over 20 years ago. What are you seeing and what are you hearing from issuers in terms of their priorities? Issues, how they're thinking about 3DS. Has that changed from where it was a year ago, or is it, and what are they trying to achieve next, would you say?
Yeah, I would say issuers absolutely are trying to use more data to make better decisions. And knowing, there's always this issue of fraud liability and who carries it. And in a lot of cases, the issuers are liable. And so, like you would think, any financial party that's liable for fraud, should a transaction not be legitimate, is going to want as much data as possible to make the best possible decision. And what we're starting to see is these issuers now, I always go back to the it's a castle, the castle analogy of inner wall, outer wall. And so if you're living in a castle, you have an outer wall, and that's what we call authentication. And but there is also an inner wall because sometimes the outer wall gets breached. And when the outer wall gets breached, you still want to have another wall. And so the way we think about it is, authentication is that outer wall and authorization is the inner wall. And so when issuers think about that, the outer wall is becoming more and more important because there's the general realization that you can't just do 3DS because you have to. You do 3DS because you want to do it really well and keep people out of the outer wall. You don't let them into the courtyard because once they're in the courtyard, it's only one more step till they're on get to the heart of it, which is authorized fraud. And so if that's what breach looks like is authorized fraud, you got to take advantage of all the defenses you have available to you. One is outer wall, another is inner wall. So we're starting to see more and more use of data, and we're embedding that also because we have our smart rule set concept, which we've talked or feature rather that we've talked about quite often, where we're just taking a bunch of data and all the techniques that we've built up over the years about how to detect incoming fraud and block it from getting through the outer wall. And so we're doing that. We're doing it at scale across a lot of large financial institutions, and I'm seeing it make a real difference in the amount of fraud incurred. And also, it hasn't had a negative impact on the amount of friction or the amount of challenge involved in the transaction. So I would say one theme I see with the issuers is use of data to make better decisions and taking authentication data, and then how do you use that in authorization? That's a big investment area, if you will, from a lot of issuers is, it's the why would I not want to know what happened at the outer wall when I now am evaluating the transaction again at the inner wall? Because I want to know, oh, these guys showed their ID, they passed, they went through some sort of knowledge check at the door. And so now they're knocking on the inner wall, and you know what? It looks pretty legit, so I'm going to let them through. So that's one point. The other point is social engineering is still a big problem for issuers, and everyone's trying to figure out how to effectively stop social engineering. And it's funny because it's not funny. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day at a social event, and she was talking about how she had been taking her daughter into New York City for a concert, and her friend had decided to come too, so she was trying to get an extra ticket. She was driving, she was trying to talk to a ticket broker on StubHub, and she finally got through a ticket broker. She needed an extra ticket. They said no problem, and she's like, they were so sweet. They were like nice and kind, and asking me some weird questions. But I wanted this ticket, and I was like, down to like an hour and a half before the show, and needed to have it. And so I just gave them the information, and I thought that I was buying a ticket. Turns out I was talking to a fraudulent ticket broker, and they were set up just for this moment where you're late to a show. You want a ticket, you're in a rush, and you are willing to kind of suspend any disbelief because you have such a critical, time-sensitive need for a ticket. And she gave them everything, and they took everything. They she you know she but her credit card actually stopped the transaction, but her I think they got through some ACH stuff. And but that's the kind of thing we're now focused on. And when we think about what we're doing for issuers on this behalf and things that they're starting to do, it's how do you do a risk evaluation that takes into account, hey, you know what? When I do this challenge, when I actually ask for whatever it may be, the OTP, should I evaluate whether or not that purchasing device is in the same location as the authenticating device? And in this case, it wasn't. She was authenticating from her car while driving, probably not that safe, but she was doing it. And then the purchasing device was somewhere else in some
Right.
other country somewhere. So it could have been stopped. And those are the types of things we're working with our issuers on. And we have a new feature that we're training right now, a new model actually that we're training around social engineering. So I guess the theme there again is just issuers using more data to make better decisions.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just a comment actually that it's interesting on your ticket example, because normally the urgency is created by the fraudster. This kind of is a red flag, isn't it? If anything needs to be now, it needs to be no, right? But this is actually an urgency created by the by the end user, and they're exploiting that. And I thought it was interesting your castle wall analogy, because just to build on that, if I may, because the outer wall is us, right? Authentication. We are the first line of defense, and I think to your point around the additional data we see, we're the first and best line of defense, because that wall, we're seeing the additional data. The inner wall doesn't see as much data, right? Unless those two systems are connected, and some are, some aren't. But if they've gone through that authentication at the outer wall, there is a real risk that that inner wall will then kind of is more likely to let them through, right? So my point being that if we're the first and most effective line of defense, that's where we would urge, I think, issuers to really invest, not just because it's our platform, because it's the most effective way of stopping some of this fraud getting through. We've had some examples where issuers said, oh yeah, we just let it through and let it come through to the authorization system and we'll stop it there. I'm not sure you would ever. You want bad actors as far away from your castle as possible, right? And from the
I agree.
courtyard
People are
anytime.
doing that for sure. There are still issuers doing that. That is a true statement.
Exactly. So, and on that secondary risk assessment feature that that you mentioned, yeah, that's really about stopping that pass just being kind of just green light that they can then walk through that, right? If the locations are different, to your point, that it'll be stopped. So, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that at the summit. So that's on the issuer side. Just on the scheme side, and then I'll jump to merchants if I may, because you mentioned like the additional data that's being seen. I know because we've spoken about this, you're aware of this, but Visa from April 12th, they mandated that merchants send additional fields. We're aware that they're now incentivizing merchants through lower interchange fees based on those additional fields. And I think the reason, we believe the reason they're doing that is because they're kind of all in on higher approval rates, lower fraud, a better customer experience, that 3D Secure is seen, strategically as a mechanism of enhancing this whole ecosystem, right? Which we fully endorse. I don't think there's any big surprises there. And then MasterCard, they did their version of that on the additional fields from July 1st. And we're tracking closely, we'll have data at the summit about what the impacts that's had on challenge rates and CSR and ASR. But we're definitely seeing, I think, the schemes now getting more and more behind 3DS. You agree with that, Matt? Are you hearing anything to the contrary? of that. I mean, I think we welcome that development.
Yeah, no, I think that when I look at what the schemes are up to and some of these new rules they've put in place, they all want to have a very secure set of rails where people can safely transact. And if that's the guiding principle, obviously you'd like to use as much data as possible to make sure there's minimal amount of fraud on those rails. So that's kind of the overall principle, and that's the way that we're seeing them executing in the market.
Yeah.
And I think it's a they're in a unique spot to be very influential in how transaction flows evolve. And in this case, I think that they're pushing on the right things, and they're pushing on more data, more authentication traffic, so that everyone in the ecosystem gets much smarter about fraud.
And I think that view has been promoted into to shift into merchants and PSPs. I think most people are aware now of the work that we've done with Square. That's been widely promoted now at an industry level, and the results that that Arcot saw there. And I think I've seen a big shift in merchant perception of 3D Secure over the last 18 months to 2 years, particularly here in the US. I think it's moved from, oh, it's it's friction, it's a poor customer experience, into actually, declining 15 to 20% of those transactions at the inner wall because the authorization system's not optimized. That's not a great customer experience either if we're declining those, and we can solve that problem through data only. So I think that perception of merchants has really shifted, and we're seeing that in the US volumes on 3DS in particular. I mean, I was looking back from where they were really 2 years ago, and they've almost kind of 3x'd from where they were just a couple of years ago, and that trajectory looks pretty aggressive. So that's on the merchant side, and then that's probably linked to, we're seeing our processor community. Some of them are issuer, some of them are merchant, some of them are connected together. But this general theme across the industry, I think, is, to your point, more data, better results, better collaboration, use 3DS. I mean, that's kind of the, I think, what we're seeing overall. Do you
Yeah,
agree with that?
I completely agree. And just to echo, I mean, the US volumes have been just, I mean, you can see the impact. The comment I made about schemes being able to help direct flows into the areas that are the most beneficial. I mean, the US was a problem for many, many years on 3DS, where it was pretty much just all the garbage got put onto the 3DS rails because merchants just didn't really were concerned about the fraud liability. So then the issuers were playing aggressive defense on all the 3DS transactions. And now that story is flipped because of some of these policies and what's going on in North America is a perfect example. So yeah, I think the merchants are also getting involved for the reasons you mentioned, which are some financial incentives, but also the drop in false declines. I mean, the false decline is what everyone wants to get out of the system. And so get all the legitimate, that's real revenue that can disappear at the snap of a finger if you make one wrong move on an authentication or an authorization. So merchants are playing ball because it just makes sense that more data leads to better decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel, I think we'll time out on a conversation around PSD3. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, at the summit. But everything seems to be, you can use 3D Secure for more data. You can use it for a better experience. Everybody wants fraud out the system. Everyone wants high approval. And it feels like, we've been evangelizing this for years, but it's real now, right? So it's kind of like we're on top of the mountain. So kind of what's next, would you say, for Arcot, Matt? What's your view, general manager of Arcot? Are we seeing kind of, is it we leverage this now for continued optimization? Obviously, we've got smart rule set, we've got RANs, big investment, AIs on the, it's with us, it's not even on the horizon. But where would you say, you use this phrase, I referenced it at the summit, of we go where the puck is going, not where it is, right? And so far, Arcot, I'd say, has done a great job of predicting where that puck was going to go. Where do you think that puck is going to go next?
Well, I can say in the short term, we'll keep pushing on the same things, which are smart rule set, making the Arcot network the most intelligent authentication network on the planet. And that's what we spend our days doing. And we take that responsibility very seriously. So we'll continue to do that. But the thing where the puck is going is interesting is that There's more and more use of AI, as you can imagine, in all of inside our business and also outside of our business. And while I've been looking for signs of agents actually transacting, AI agents actually transacting and buying things, there hasn't been a lot of it, right? And I'm reasonably
Right.
got my finger on it, and I'm not buying it. I don't have an agent that's buying things on my behalf yet. I'm sure there are people out there in the frontier doing it, but when they do it, it could be have a meaningful impact on what we think of as purchase transactions. Because if you can now, at high speed, have an agent transacting at high volumes and very small amounts, it will change a lot of what's happening. And are we going to give agents our cards? And then, okay, when the agent purchases something, are we going to do an authentication? Is it going to send me an OTP when my agent actually goes to buy something? Or is the agent already authenticated somehow? It's going to be a interesting next thing for us to think about. So we're starting to, there's not a lot of meaningful progress there, or we're not building anything actively. But that's when you say, what's coming next? Those are the things that we're paying attention to.
Right. I know we talk a lot about where, to that point, AI can be deployed and used across all business functions. Is it internally, and then in terms of product development, and then as supporting and assisting customers? It's a huge topic, and as we know, it's moving very, very, very fast, which is why I think these conversations are helpful in the summits as well. I'm sure it'll be foremost during that discussion as well.
Yeah, and
So.
I think the one thing I'll mention is it would be remiss is the impact on security. And we obviously run a network that is not installed anywhere other than our own data centers. And so we have to have a pretty robust defense against fraudsters and DDoS and hackers in general. And with all this, Mythos was the first time that it really became clear that these AI platforms are very, very good at finding vulnerabilities. They're very, very good. And you're starting to see, if you search the news, you'll find all sorts of little examples popping up of certain breaches or hacks or customer data being lost. And I think there's going to be more and more of this over the next 6 months. So I would encourage anyone listening to this to make sure that you're having the conversation with your vendors about what they're doing to ensure the highest levels of security for both all your financial data and your customers' financial data, whether it's cards or whether it's other types of data. So that's the one thing I would mention, that keep an eye on security, because there's some real stuff happening out there, and it's a little bit scary, but you have to be you have to work with vendors or work with providers that are on the front foot as it relates to AI security.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's great to be at the forefront of that and to be leading a lot of the initiatives on that front to keep our customers and their, our code base and all the interactions as secure as possible. So that's great. Okay. Well, Matt, thanks very much. Thanks everybody for listening. I would urge everybody, if they haven't already, to please register for Dublin or the London events. If you need registration, please speak to Matt or I or to your CSM. We'll make sure you get the details. Looking forward to the summits and continuing the conversation. We'll pick this up again in September.
Can't wait.
Thank you.